Hi, I'm Melody.
And I'm Candy.
And you're listening to
Quirks, Bumps,
and Bruises. So glad you're with us on Quirks, Bumps, and Bruises. It's Melody, Candy, like always, but we have a very special guest with us today, Parker Webb of the band and group that you hear on Joy FM called Guilford. Parker, let's have some fun talking about some church stuff. I'm going to ask this question to, especially to Parker and to Candy. Y'all are about the same age, I think, right?
A couple,
I'm
you
24.
Guys.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
And they both lie a lot. And
how
I'm 30.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Yeah. Okay. I thought we were a little bit further than that. I'm 39.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's painful
Parker's,
to say.
We're pushing on 40.
You,
and if we go to heaven in our 80s, we're middle age.
Lord,
how
come
about
back.
That?
Lord, come back.
Well, welcome
anybody
to
that
my
needs,
world.
Yeah. Anybody that needs a depressing comment for the day, they are right there.
Well, wow. I'm going to ask you two something. We're going to talk church.
Great.
Now, Parker, I know you and your family. Candy, I know you and your background and your family. Of course, I know my background and my family. Mm-hmm. We are church kids.
Mm-hmm.
We truly love the church.
Right.
And so, me being a little more seasoned.
Old.
She's 26.
Yeah. She's 26. Yeah. You got 2 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I grew up in the era of most everybody went to church.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
for
it
sure.
could have been more because there was not as much vying for your attention as it is now. It was kind of the thing to do. Mm. And it was maybe even a social outlet for many.
Stores sure. were closed. Like you
stores
couldn't
were closed
things.
On yeah. Sundays. They did not open. It mm-hmm. was just a different time.
Yeah.
And so I grew up going to church every Sunday and loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I still love it. Like I don't care how old I am. I will never not find a church home. Mm-hmm. Now I've been in the same one my entire life.
Sure.
And I love it there. And that's where God has placed me. If that for some reason I would need to move or we'd whatever, I would find me another church home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I know you two are the same way. Mm-hmm. But my question is this. Do you feel like for your age group that there are more going to church now?
Mm.
Or do you feel like for your age group, church has become maybe I'll do that if there's nothing else better to do?
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about what do you see in your churches? Mm. I guess is a good way to ask that.
I would more so say that Parker should answer this because you are a worship pastor at your church.
Yeah.
So you physically are seeing.
And it's difficult because, I mean, it's conversations that we have around the pastoral table. I mean, mm-hmm. all the pastors mm-hmm. at our church, we get together once a week for a pastoral staff meeting. And it is a struggle. How do you reach all the different demographics? But mm-hmm. Melody, you're spot on with back in the 50s and 60s,
mm-hmm.
you know, I call it the,
no, I wasn't back that far, Parker.
No, right. Cause you're only 26. So
right.
Obviously I'm way back. Yeah. You know, but I would say the Andy Griffith era.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even Otis, the town drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Went to church.
It's true.
And so there was an actual study from one of our large Christian suppliers that they did a study on all the generational decline of the church. Mm-hmm. So you had your greatest generation before the baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
Baby boomers were the first generation to start leaving the church because mm-hmm. before that, everybody went to church.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby
I'm a boomer.
Right. So the baby boomers were the first generation where you found people walking away from the church totally. Then on down a little bit, millennials were the first generation to have never darkened the doors of church.
Yeah.
For the most part, mm. predominantly. Now, you have generational, thank the Lord for the generational legacy where like us here in this room, we've always been to church
mm-hmm.
and because of our parents' leadership and guidance. So they're finding that millennials on down. Now, this is a proven statistic. They are looking for church somewhere, but they're not looking at it in what millennials, which is myself and Candy, have been blamed for, not mm-hmm. for the more progressive. That's not what's enticing.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually looking for deep theology
yeah.
and something they can hold on to. And so if they're not finding it, in our churches, which there can be some churches that don't stand on God's word.
No, yeah.
They are leaving and going to a church that can. So mm-hmm. I challenge our pastors, preach the word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spend time studying God's word. Mm-hmm. And as you very carefully tear apart verse by verse and explain it to your people, because that's what's going to draw people in. Authenticity is what millennials are looking for.
Yeah,
I was just getting ready to say the millennials and down, they can spot fake.
Oh, a mile away.
Yes.
Totally.
And they are looking for transparency.
That's right.
They're looking for authenticity, as you said. And sometimes the church, and I'm just using that as a blanket statement there, cannot be that way. We're going to try to hide who we really are. We don't want others to know that we've dealt with this situation, or even pastors and that kind of. There's part of me that wants to say the church is kind of in a mess.
It is, for sure.
But there's another part of me that knows there's hope, and that there are so many good pastors, young
Absolutely.
Pastors out there.
Oh my goodness,
that love the Lord, that delve into His Word, that will not compromise.
That's right.
And I urge anyone listening, if you're in that age group and you're just like, I just can't go, I'm not doing that. It's just a bunch of fake.
Yeah.
Ask God to help you find that church body.
He will.
We love talking church because Parker, you, Candy, you, myself, all church kids grew up in church, but truly love the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when I don't go to church, I don't know about y'all, but even if you go on vacation and I'm not in my church home, I feel weird.
Oh, for sure.
Like well, you miss it. You miss your family.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's that day at church that kind of sets me for the week, you know, and that kind of thing. I love church. I'm a church girl.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the priority of in today's society, especially millennials and under, and their priority when it comes to church. And Parker, you had mentioned a few moments ago when we were talking about the millennials and under. They want authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
They can smell fake, y'all, 2 seconds away. They know.
Yeah, sure.
You know, hypocrisy.
Yep.
And you're going to have all that in the church.
Sure.
But, you know, I've always said when people say to me, there's so many hypocrites in the church, and I'll say, is there a better place for them to be?
Amen,
that's right.
Sister.
That's right.
And if you come, you're going to be one too.
Yep.
Because we all have times where we have a little bit of hypocrisy.
You're right.
Either our thoughts or in our life. Let's just be honest.
We're
I'm going to lay that out
we
there.
Are. Yeah.
We're human. We're depraved humans.
That's what Christ died
humans.
For.
That's right.
Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, so talking about that in church, and I know with millennials especially, that's the age, like you all, where you have young children.
Mm.
Barna research says that a child will believe, for the most part, I think the percentages are in the high 80s, that a child will believe what they're going to believe for the rest of their life by age 9.
Mm. Wow.
So it shows you the importance of the home, first of all, the example set in the home, the witness you have as parents to your children, and that the church can. Church is not made, church youth groups, church children's programs. They are not the ones that are supposed to be raising your children in the Lord.
No.
They are a tool
to
walk with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You think about it, for most families, your children are in church possibly 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They're Wednesday nights, maybe, or Sunday nights and Sunday morning.
Sure.
Maybe 3 hours. You've got them the rest of the time.
Oh, yeah.
So you see the balance there.
Totally.
So let's just talk about that for a minute. I know both of you have your children in church.
Mm.
How high on the priority list is that for you? Candy, I'll start with you.
Oh, my gracious. 100 on a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah. I mean, that's
and church,
important.
Let me say this. Church can't save your children.
That's right. That's right.
No.
But
there is something about little kids coming together with other children, singing songs and reading the Bible, hearing lessons, being part of a church family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe that even if I were not in church myself, I would put my children in church.
Yeah.
You know, I would have them. If there was any time where I was like, Lord, I don't want church anymore, which I would absolutely send the kids. It's more important for me that they grow up right and learn the way. But
can I say that as a former children's director of children, many times I had that situation where the children were in church
parents
with me
didn't.
And the parents were at home.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's sad. It shouldn't be that way. Sometimes things hinder physically. You know, people are unable to do that, but it's very important. I mean, my children's even though we train them at home, they learn the majority of it at home from mom and dad. It's still, church is extremely important. Extremely.
And I think if you look at any other, just grab an analogy. If I want my little boy to be a wonderful baseball player, there has to be a balance of, I need to have him in the backyard myself
playing,
as his daddy, throwing the ball back and forth. But he has got to understand the camaraderie with other baseball players on the team at practice if he's going to be a star baseball player, which he might not. He's got music genes in his little body, and so he's not going to be a star.
Where he got that from.
No, he's a wonderful little guy and very athletic. But the point being, if we want him to grow, it's all aspects of his life that he's going to have to. And we don't put, now there are people that will put a priority on some of those other extracurricular things. Mm-hmm. And these are godly people. My challenge would be to folks, put as much priority in being around fellow believers, growing them at home, training them up in God's word and reading God's word to them. But I think as a society, we have diminished church fellowship in the sense of it has become an action that we utilize to gain salvation or whatever in our minds, when it's not.
No.
It's the simple fact of the more we are around fellow believers, we are going to grow closer to God.
Yes.
Because of it. Again, we're all human, and a part of our depravity is we're going to slip up. But we got to be around fellow believers that can grab us by our arms and pick us back up. Accountability. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's crucial with our walk with Jesus. And so for us, again, baseball, Bryce's practices were on Wednesday night. Our church has a wonderful Wednesday night program. We made a commitment. If the practice is on Wednesday night, we won't be there.
We had to do that with my son, who was a lefty, a pitcher, and quite good. Had some colleges even looking at him as he got older. But when he was in that younger little league, he was asked to be on a traveling ball team. And not to say that we're so righteous that we, but we had to make that decision as parents because the games were on Sundays. And so we had to tell him no.
It's tough.
You know, and so it is tough because the world's going to push you, you know, pull you in a certain direction. And I want to say, why do y'all have to have those games on Sundays? There's six other days of the week that you could have those games, but to do it on Sunday, because he would be out of church a lot, that traveling ball stuff.
And I think as a parent, you could justify, like, well, if we miss this Sunday, we'll just watch it online.
And it's that word right there.
Yeah.
Justifying.
Yes. Justification.
We justify our actions unbelievably in 2024.
Yes.
It's just because there's so much going on. But I'm telling y'all, it's very simple. What you want your children to turn out to be is where you put them, what you have them involved in. And I think everybody can, even people that don't know the Lord, would agree that having them around other Christians, godly people, is a better outcome than not.
Amen.
Yes.
So, and can I just say, as a little side note, church was God's idea. Church is not something that we just
created.
That's right.
It plainly says in his word to be around other believers, so that you will encourage each other. You will walk together through the joys of life. You'll walk together through the sorrows of life. I, frankly, do not know how people do it without a church family.
I agree.
I think y'all would agree with that. I have grown up with a wonderful church family that loves the Lord, that is not perfect at all.
Right.
I mean, I go there, so obviously it's not perfect. I don't know where I would be without that group of people in my life.
Well, and you look back all the way to the early church, talking about not being perfect. Has anybody read about the church in Corinth?
Amen.
I heard a pastor say it was a straight dumpster fire that they were dealing with in Corinth.
I think they got a letter.
They did. They got, and let me tell you.
We need a few letters these days.
I was about to say, I think that most churches would receive a letter from Paul just saying, y'all, you got to get your act together. We're better than this. But the purpose of church is for fellowship, but more importantly, it's for growth, spiritual growth with other believers, because we are better together than apart.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Quirks, Bumps, and Bruises podcast with Candy and Melody. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and share the podcast. You can learn more at joyfm.org.
Try Peas and Carrots podcast for more encouragement. Brian and Kayla share life from their piece of the vegetable patch. Expect a laugh, find common ground, and hear stories you can't wait to share. It's a podcast about doing life together, growing in Christ together, and learning to laugh no matter what comes your way. Search Peas and Carrots podcast wherever you listen to podcasts today.